Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The White House has said that taking over this building, that is not peaceful protest. Whoa, wait a minute. That just came from the White House. What about the George Floyd summer? Would burning the building down be mostly peaceful protest, White House? Would attack, would be blowing up ATMs? Would that be, well, that's not really peaceful protest. We didn't hear any of that then. We heard the 99% peaceful protest. The other sets off a tactical nuclear weapon. Oh, well, that was only one half of 1/1,000,000%. And if true, the way to play with these idiots at the that I would pursue if I were Republicans, or I'd be trying to track down in the media, the big interview for me, Dan, would be apparently three janitors who were held hostage for a period of time in that building by these punks. Now, I think the janitors, I'm kind of surprised, if fully true, how long it was, would beat the hell out of them. That's what they should
have
done.
Why did they just, like, push their way out? I don't think these kids are very intimidating.
Yeah, you know, they keep blocking you like this. One guy just flattens one of them, and that's it. They're out of there. Yeah. But they've been asked about that all day long. There appears to be some evidence that maybe they had them locked in somewhere. They were doing something. Now, if that doesn't enrage people, this taking of the building, here is one Columbia. Is this the kid who said, it was like a scene from The Shining. Cut 14.
What exactly are you seeing and what's your reaction to all this?
Well, the most remarkable scene that I saw was someone smashing the windows of the doorway of Hamilton Hall in with a hammer, almost like a scene from The Shining. And I also saw a student who was trying to prevent them from continuing to barricade the doors. And then he was essentially corralled by another human chain of pro-Palestinian protesters and basically lifted up and shoved out and called a Zionist. And he was physically assaulted. And again, there's utter silence from public safety, from NYPD. So we feel alone on this campus.
Now, here's the story I've been saving up to this moment all day, just ready to burst with it. And it's before this most recent activity. It's a Forbes story that's out, but they were doing the reporting on this well before this current punkery on the Columbia and these other Ivy League schools like the Pennites here. The Ivy League says Forbes may be forfeiting its standing as America's producer of great talent.
Oh, somebody called that a couple weeks ago.
A new Forbes survey reveals that 33% of hiring managers in the big companies admit they are less likely to hire Ivy League graduates than 5 years
nice
ago.
Nice call, Dom.
So right here is something you got to love. Now, I know there are some people listening, Dan, and I don't know how it happened. I'm not fully in that camp that just resent college of any type. I don't. I get it. There's a lot of baggage. You don't have to go to college, all that stuff. But this idea of the Ivy League, this idea of how many Supreme Court justices, They go to undergrad at Harvard, then they go to Yale for law school or that kind of thing. I admit, certain kinds of class warfare, I'm definitely in on. I mean, I just see punks all over the place. You know what I mean? And you just want to meet them on an even playing field to see what they're made of, and probably not too much many times. Like you mentioned, these janitors versus these Columbia University kids. I'd take the three janitors against 500 of them.
For a great kung fu movie.
Yeah.
Could you imagine three janitors stuck inside a building?
With mobs, yes.
Yeah, mobs of protesters with purple hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Horn-rimmed glasses coming at them.
They'd be mopping them up with them. And also with the Mideastern garb over their face and saying, free, bang, you know. We got to track that story. The janitor is a guy I'd like to invite to Mulligan's. Get one of them down there. That's my favorite story of this whole thing. They were in the building doing their work, and somehow or another they got contained there for a while until I think they were able to break out of there. It's amazing. So now they've gone too far in the minds of even the White House, The Shining. But this Forbes story says that they're not saying they're not looking, you know, big companies, big Wall Street, big national tech, all that. They're not going with these Ivy League punks. Now, not everybody goes to an Ivy League school. Matt DeSantis. Matt DeSantis is perfect. I was shocked
Poor
when
Matt.
I first heard Matt went to Harvard, weren't you?
Yeah.
I worked with him for years.
Wait, hold on. That's not nice.
I don't mean it in a negative way.
You're shocked to hear someone went to Harvard.
Well, he never exhibited anything that would, in my negative impression,
yes,
of Harvard.
Yes, no, you're 100% right.
He's the most laid back.
When you think of Harvard, you think of like a... tightly wound and...
Yes.
Yeah, no, Matt's a very cool guy.
Yeah, he's very, very down to earth. The most of most producers that I've seen here, yes.
Well,
Matt DeSantis, right. Harvard. I thought Dan might have
Anthony
been...
Anthony reacted negatively to that
might
one,
have been
too.
At Yale, but not Matt DeSantis. So there is a certain antagonism I've always had toward these people. Now, I realize, oh, come on, Ro would be telling me, yeah, that's stereotyping and... By and large, there's a certain amount of truth to it. And they're exhibiting it by holding the janitors in there. So Lawrence Jones got this one woman, and she said false narrative twice and then said, get out of my face. She couldn't take a third question. It's playing out right here. And this Forbes study says these managers are looking at state schools. They're thinking, you know, this Ivy League stuff, a lot of these people are... What, legacy people? They went there because mommy and daddy gave money. Tony Soprano's daughter at Columbia, I think it was. Wasn't it? In the Sopranos?
Was it? Or was it Emery or Brown?
No, it was in New York.
It was Columbia then.
It was
NYU?
No, it wasn't NYU. No, it was a biggie. It was Columbia. I'm believing it was Columbia, yeah. And Tony Soprano had to put $50,000 up toward a building or something to keep Meadow in there, right? And... The idea that, Jim says it was Columbia. It was. The idea that Forbes now reporting with all these managers nationwide, they're looking past the Ivy League. That's a good thing. We're seeing more people even look past college and say it's not necessary. In many instances, that's a good thing. Okay, here is, thank you. This woman, I don't know how Lawrence Jones put up with it. By the way, this woman was pretty big, too. I've stood next to him. He's taller than me, so I would have had to really stand on my tippy toes to be towering over this one.
I'd have to call standing Dan. On a curb and him not on
Oh, maybe that's her. She's got, no, she wouldn't be wearing heels. Not the type. All right, here's Lawrence Jones with the Columbia protester.
How do you feel about them taking over the building right now?
I think that their cause is a just cause, and I hope that the administration really hears their demands. I think they're just demands.
Do you feel like it was right to hold three of the janitor workers hostage with inside of the building?
I think that's a really false narrative.
That's what the janitors are saying, that they weren't allowed to leave.
I think that that's a really false narrative.
Even if the janitors are saying that, you're saying that that's not true.
I think that it's a really false narrative that the students took anyone hostage.
How do you feel about some of the Jewish students saying that they don't feel safe here on campus?
I think that this is also a really false narrative that's being promoted.
And broken record.
October 7th and the attack
is
that
a false narrative?
Is a false narrative? believe that some of the women were raped.
Holly just came back. One
so
more.
This is what happened.
Can you get out of my face, please?
So this is what you,
no,
you
see at
these protests. Once you get into the nitty-gritty of what happened on October the 7th, the rape of women, what's happening there, they deny what happened. As you know, that is actually factual now, that the janitorial workers were blocked inside of the building. And anytime you bring that up, the Jewish cause, the Jewish people, the kids that feel unsafe on campus, they deny the reality of it, guys.
Can I do a Donovan chest pat? Because I talked over where it turned there. Yeah. Can I just play that back?
Yeah, go ahead. Seconds?
I think that this is also a really false narrative that's being promoted.
Do you think October 7th and the attack that happened is a false narrative? Do you believe that some of the women were raped?
Kali just came back. One
so this is what happened.
Can you get out of my face, please?
So
the ultimate passive aggressive. I don't know why it's Heinz Hall. I'll have to look that up. All right. One other quick thing, more progress. I'll give you all the details. And Don Jr. has cut a promo for mail-in balloting, early voting, mail-in balloting. The president said it on Truth Social. He needs to just go public. The numbers are up. That's good, but they're not up enough. They're not up nearly enough to crash the barrier where we beat them. And that's all that matters. That is all that matters, winning. Yeah, I'll say it. Well, Dom, don't you have to win with winning legally? Okay, legally, where you're not going to jail or anything else. Legally, winning. That's what matters. All right, Dan, you got a great cut. Is this Don Jr.?
No, I'm sorry. This is just the Columbia editor in chief. He was explaining the significance of Hamilton Hall if you wanted to hear.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear why they went after that.
Yeah, so it was a very surreal scene. I was in Butler Library, our main library, getting ready for finals, finishing up an assignment. I walk out. The encampment is alive. Everyone's marching around, and everyone's saying they're going to occupy Hamilton Hall. And instantly, I knew that this was an escalation, because back in 1968, this was the big event that put Columbia on the map in terms of being a very activist school. And it really did a lot of harm to the university's reputation. They occupied Hamilton Hall back in 1968 to protest the Vietnam War, and now they're doing the same thing because they see this as a continuation of the same movement. This is a very important building for Columbia University and Columbia College. This is where the dean of Columbia College is. It's where the Center for the Core Curriculum is, and that's the centerpiece of every student's academic experience.
All right, so that's why they're taking over this building. People have to understand, my takeaway covering the Occupy people, having him scream, mic check, and Dan, I pretend like I'm talking, he'd scream, mic check, and I'd say a couple words, is two things. It's their fun. I know this is bizarre, this bizarre stuff, this degradation is their fun. And two, they usually all get some title, like assistant communications director on the janitor matter. Get out of my face. You know, that's my comment. They all get some little title. This is, their lives are empty. There's no great purpose. This is the great purpose. They're doing something to save lives in Gaza, to expose the United States. This is what they're about. Suspension is their highest honor. Maybe. If they get expelled, though, that's not going to be such a higher honor. Suspending them does little. Expelling them. That's what would do it. You take 10 to 20 of them and you expel them on the spot there. And that would do some damage. You're going to see a lot of others now not want to get involved. All right. The janitors are the story I'd be pursuing. Good for Lawrence Jones. You don't hear that on CNN, MSNBC. That's who I'd like to hear their eyewitness testimony. Hardworking guys doing janitorial, and they get in some way, shape, or form held by these idiots. And it would have a happy ending, Dan, if they pummeled them as they walked out of there while mopping up the floor with them. That's what I want to see. All right, 855-839-1210. Coming up, I'll give you a lot that was in this fine, $9,000 on President Trump, how the judge justified that. I still don't think he's going to send him to jail, even though it's going to be another hearing this week on more gag order situation. And we have the parent that led the protest over in North Penn. I watched that last night. They didn't hold a public meeting. You have one kid that gets hit in the head severely. You know the story now, by another. Unexplained why they didn't stop it. They still don't hold it publicly. They do it over Zoom. I mean, what kinds of people are they? And apparently someone's exposed them. Their big thrill was they got to meet with Madeleine Dean and talk about all this.
Oh, joy.
Can you imagine? What's that meddler doing in this?
Decency.
What's Madeleine Dean? You know what it is, Dan. She's ready to jump into the ring. If she hears any more of this subtext that maybe this kid's transgender, she gets that. She's on the trail. That's all
decency.
She cares about. She doesn't care about the kid getting hit over the head. She cares about getting that sniff that some people are alleging something like that. That's why this was hushed up or protected. That's what she wants. Probably open congressional hearings on that. All right, side question. This came up yesterday, and it worked perfectly toward the end of the show, and even more today. You're seeing these encampments, hundreds of them decamped yesterday and into today. Can you imagine being this president of Colombia? How little self-respect do you have to let someone take over your major building? I believe in everything is personal. It's not business. You know what I mean? I may say that. Oh, I understand. It's just business, Dan. But deep down, you know, I think stuff is personal. It ought to be personal. It ought to be personal to her, not on my campus. Let's go and get him. Get him out of there. Oh, you can't do that. Somebody might get hurt. Well, yeah, that might happen. Expel them on the spot. What's your name? Give me your tag. You're expelled. Get out of here. All right. So, side question today. Hit us with a song you'd like to hear played as the encampers are decamped. We had a lot of great ones yesterday. Dan, nice what's yours? You like this, yeah.
Well, yeah, Kung Fu Fighting.
Kung Fu Fighting, because of the janitors.
Imagine a montage, you know, the janitors are, one takes one of a broomstick and turns it into a kendo stick. You got another one taking a wrench, and then they all do back to back. You hear this song pop on. It's just a montage of purple-haired individuals coming from their left, their right. Body slam over their head.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I'm going to take Carl Douglas's Kung Fu Fighting off the board.
All right, that is a great one. That's what we're looking for. What did Gary say? Do you remember that yesterday? We said we'd write it down. We know he's in the
yes, he had, let me get it going.
Gary in Newtown yesterday.
Steam's great. Well, I didn't get the chorus there. No. Hey, kissing goodbye.
Yeah, that is a definite contender. All right. What song would you like to see played in, particularly as the janitors drive them out of the hall? All right, 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is push #1210. We'll get you in here. By the way, Republicans, I don't know whether to commend them or show how silly they are. They have such a slim majority.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
They're telling their fellow colleagues from the leadership, Dan, in the House, stop going skydiving. Don't go on a fact-finding mission to Haiti. Things like that. They're telling them, you know, you can't die because the whole world will end. That we don't have the majority. Why don't they copy the Democrats in Harrisburg? They don't tell their people don't do anything. They just say the roof's got a leak. We're not meeting till we get the majority. That's a way to go, right? Just call the Speaker of the House here. They know what to do. We talked a lot about what's going on over in the North Penn School District. And last night they had their Safe School Zoom meeting, which was as bureaucratic as anything that I've ever seen. There were two big points there about timelines. And we have one of the parents who led the protest last week of what's going on over at North Penn around this student hitting over the head, even though the student seemed to be with a guard because of previous issues. And one student reported they knew there was a hit list, and he hits this little girl over the head with a Stanley Cup. Joining us is Stephanie Palofkak, who is one of the leaders, along with another, of that protest last week. Stephanie, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us. What's your biggest takeaway from watching this last night? And I guess prior to that, my God, this couldn't have been held in person versus over Zoom.
Well, hi, Dom. Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate you. First of all, I totally agree. Now, this meeting was scheduled months out before this incident took place. However, given the circumstances, I think it could have been moved in person. Absolutely, 100%. They are having another board meeting on 514, I believe it is, and that will be held in person at the high school. It's a bigger facility because they expect a bigger parental turnout. So, and that'll be like an open forum for parents to speak again, like it was the last time.
Well, Stephanie, one of the things I jotted down, in addition to just the bureaucratic stuff and the, it was like a bullet point thing and third party investigation, how much does that cost? A couple of the timelines things. They said it was the superintendent. It was about only 6 seconds, his words, it took for the one kid who was being watched to bash the other kid over the head with a Stanley Cup. Give me your sense of that, though. If you have someone that is intensely watching you there, wouldn't they be keeping that kid away from the other kids? It makes no sense.
So I had a meeting last week with the superintendent, and I keep trying to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, that's how I am. However, during our meeting, he stated that the child was being watched and was in the office, I guess under in-school suspension, or I don't know if it was technically an in-school suspension, but due to the threats that were being made and the parents' complaints and the students' complaints, they were keeping the child in the office. However, at the seventh grade lunchtime, the student asked, "Can I get lunch?" And the climate coordinator, the aide that was in charge of watching the child, asked the principal, Dr. Taylor, Principal Fenbrook, "This child wants lunch. Can they get lunch?" Now, me, bells would go off in my head, considering I had complaints that morning, 4 hours prior, from students that there was talks of this child doing something at lunchtime. Bells would have went off in my head. I mean, I think any normal brain's head. The principal said, "Yeah, take them to get lunch." So what the principal should have said was, "Yes, the child can get lunch. Every child's entitled to lunch." I agree with that 100%. But you could have brought lunch to them in the office. Instead, one aide, the climate coordinator, escorts the child into the lunchroom. More knowledge I gathered was the child was freely walking in the lunchroom with the coordinator next to them. You know, even stopped at my daughter's table and asked, "Hey, I'm looking for so-and-so," one of their friends, and, like, they're like, "We don't know where they're at. They're sitting," you know? They were freely walking around and got to sit and eat in the lunchroom, and they should have been in the office.
Or the back of the lunchroom with the person sitting. Yeah, I mean, my God.
They shouldn't have been allowed in the lunchroom.
That's true.
They shouldn't have been allowed in school, periodly, let alone to leave. If they were insistent on keeping the child in school, they should have kept the child in the office the way they were during classes. You had word from students that morning, 4 hours prior, as you heard during the first school board meeting, the little girl speaks on that she reported it 4 hours prior that she heard that something was going to happen at lunch. So you should not have let the child in lunch. Every child deserves a lunch, I agree, but you could have brought the child lunch to the office where the child is being held.
Yeah, the other timeline, they went back. Originally, they said it was 8 minutes that they were held, meaning on hold in the cafeteria. Here, it turns out, at least as far as I can trail this stuff, Stephanie, that it was much more than 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And no one can explain why they couldn't lead those kids out of the cafeteria. Suppose this had been a real emergency. You don't need a book, a rule book, to know what to do. You're the authority figures. You lead them out of the cafeteria.
So that's another issue that I've come to light with last night, more information that was revealed last night. You know, they're giving this little bit of information at a time. You know, like he gave me the little bit of information of the principal signing off on the child going to the lunchroom last week. Now, last night, he states that there was a discrepancy in the time of the hold because it was supposedly an 8-minute hold put on the whole school, which means nobody leaves whatever room they're in. They continue working, but they are not to leave that room until it is up. However, they said the hold only lasted 8 minutes when our children who were in the cafeteria, the seventh graders, like my daughter, said the hold was way longer than 8 minutes. We were stuck in there. You know, we had to watch them clean up her blood. Like, it was a really long time. It was at least 30 minutes, 28 minutes, something like that. You know, kids have phones. They have watches. They know how long they were in there. So that was a discrepancy. And he stated in his meeting last night that he went over the video footage and walkie-talkie transmissions, and that there was a miscommunication. The lift was holded within 8 minutes. However, the children in the seventh grade cafeteria, they could not hear the teachers and aides and whoever were in there could not hear that the lift on the hold was lifted. So that's why the students weren't moved. And I, when I got my chance to speak last night, said, okay, so the principal is the one who lifts the hold. He lifted the hold. We know he was right in the cafeteria. He was outside the cafeteria with the victim. You know, they should have been the first priority to be moved. They should have been moved immediately following that attack, moved them to the gymnasium, had teachers come out there to, you know, talk to them. If they wanted to call their parents to go home, they should have been given that opportunity. They did not handle that situation well. Why and how you forget to remove the seventh graders from the crime scene, let's call it a crime scene because it was a crime.
Oh, it is a crime, yeah.
Why would you keep the children in there is beyond me. You say that they couldn't hear. That's the answer we got. The communication wasn't able to be heard in the cafeteria. Well, I don't think the communication should have been the first line of getting those children out of there. It should have been before the hold was even lifted. Let's get these kids out of here. Let's not let them sit here and watch us kick the girl out bleeding. And let's not let them sit here and watch us wipe the table down of blood and then mop the floor up with blood as they're sitting here already traumatized from watching the attack, scared, and, you know, wanting their parents. They're already traumatized from that. Now you're going to further traumatize them more by making them sit there and see all this blood and the cleanup and everything else. They should have been moved immediately.
I couldn't agree more.
I agree that the principal had, you know, a lot going on with tending to the, you know, the victim and making sure that the attacker was subdued and, you know, tucked away wherever they tucked the child away at. But you have however many other kids that needed your attention as well, and you have a lot of staff, and it could have been handled a lot better.
Stephanie, I'm not sure if you're on to this part, too. There seems to be at least an allegation by a guy named Maltieri who wrote a piece for the North Penn publication about meeting with people like Madeline Dean and others, and he feels that there's some kind of partisan stuff going on here. Are you aware of any of that?
I didn't hear of that article, but it wouldn't surprise me. And nothing's surprising me at this point. I did not hear of that, though, but again, it wouldn't surprise me.
How about sending your daughter back to school and others? It's been a little while now. Are kids back to school, or are they still being kept out?
I know a couple of the kids who were on this child hit list are very traumatized and have not been able to return to school because they're traumatized. Like, wow, that could have been me. Speaking for my daughter was able to return to school. You know, my daughter was very upset and very traumatized and, you know, scared to leave the house for a few days and things like that. But she is pretty resilient and she's a fighter like me. And, you know, she had a meeting with the superintendent herself. She wanted to meet with him and she met with him on Friday and spoke her mind to him and told her like how she feels they let her down and all her friends and all the students of the school down. And he asked her to be on the state school committee because she has so much to offer.
That's all good. Well, I thank you again, Stephanie. Please just let Dan know if there's any development at any point. I know there's an investigation, all that, but any thoughts that you have?
Paying for their grow-ups.
I know. We'd love to have you back as anything develops, however long this goes on. We appreciate it very much. You're a model of wanting information, but I got to say, doing it in a manner that's going to get results rather than just being angry about stuff. It's a perfect blend that you put forward.
I'm very, very, very angry, and I want answers, and I want accountability. You know, what example are we setting for our children? You know, like, the people who fail these students need to step down, get fired, whatever. And maybe, just maybe, the new people they hire will say, hey, maybe we can do things differently so we don't end up getting fired. Something needs to be done.
Like, absolutely.
Something needs to be done, you know. And again, how do we even know that this third-party investigation isn't going to be biased to North Penn?
Well, that's right. Yeah, we look at the people hiring them. It makes you wonder, why would they choose them? That's right.
You know, like, I don't even trust the investigation, to be honest. And we're not going to get results until the end of the school year, which is another thing that has us completely outraged and appalled. So,
that's the first sign when they take forever to get to the bottom of what is obvious, Stephanie, based upon all reports. They know what happened. Now, what is the result? What are they going to do, to your point? Don't need an investigator. They have either footage, walkie-talk, all the stuff that you talked about. Bring the people in. Let them make a statement within a week. Maybe a couple days, you should have an answer. Stephanie, thank you. Please come back.
All right. Thank you, Don. Thank you.
You're welcome. Stephanie Powakak here on Talk Radio 1210. David has a clip of this Dr. Bauer apparently talking of the meeting with the Dean of Decency. We'll play that next. Get into on this takeover of this building. And I'm looking at a picture of the janitor. It's a guy. They're trying to plead with him after they surround him, Dan, in the picture I see. And he's got a Yankees hat on. Shame it wasn't an Eagles thing or something. We know what would happen. You think the Philadelphia Public School janitor is going to be held hostage by one of these pink-haired lunatics? I think there'd be big trouble there. Call up his other janitor pals.
I'm already casting the movie, man.
Oh, yeah. Who's playing the janitor?
Well, we got Jackie Chan who's coming back for a new role.
Okay. All right.
Maybe we'll reunite with Chris Tucker. You know, you got Jackie Chan as one, the older janitor. Then you got Chris Tucker there who's... and then we need a third one, though, right? So who's the third?
Yeah. I'm just wondering who would play the college president. Who is weaselly enough, just a spineless... Ah, the vice...
John Turturro.
Maybe. The vice principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off might be
A good one. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But that guy splits his pants with the dog and the whole thing at the end. All right, 855-839-1210. We're coming to you on everything. And Madeline Dean in the middle of this. Can you imagine going to her royal deanness on anything? You know what, Dan? That's what I think she's sniffing here. She wants to be involved. She's not going to let these parents push around if there's a transgender issue they're alleging here, anything like that. Madeline Dean will stop that. 855-839 and hit us with that tune that should be played as they're pulled out. What's the over and under and how long they let these loons occupy that building, Dan? I would put it at least to the end of next week.
You think that long?
Well, you know.
No way. They got to get him out of there like ASAP.
Well, get Penn. You will move. The stuffed shirt now seeming president of Penn told him on Friday night, Dan, it's over. Where are we now?
How long did it take Columbia to lose that reputation of being the protest school? And
yeah, Mark Rudd.
Like, you really think they're going to do this to themselves again? I guess.
I think it was in the Batman film with, what was the guy that had the breathing apparatus?
Bane. Yeah, that was Bane.
Bane. Yeah, Bane. They were doing that at Columbia. Like, they were holding their own kangaroo court there and telling you what they were going to do to you. That's how bad they were. And they didn't know what to do because the people that ran it were all these WASPy types of presidents. Well, you surely you can see reason. They don't see any reason. They're telling you they're a mob. They know one thing. They have to be put down. They think they can't be put down. They're arguing if you put them down, it will just draw more there. My response is always, well, then we're going to bring more. Yeah, well, so will we. Well, let's see what happens here. Almost everything in life, in situations like this particularly, it's not about policy. You know what it's about? Will. Who has a stronger will? Who's willing to do what needs to be done here? They think they have the stronger will, and guess what? They're right versus these college presidents. Dan's a magic man. He's not even calling anyone to book him, and he's mind-melding, and bang, one of our listeners calls into the Dom Show. A little follow-up to this North Penn thing. Vince Altieri wrote this piece at North Penn Now, NP Now, his letter to the editor, I guess. It's time to take another step on the moon, North Penn School District. What the heck? And he seems to be the one, Dan, who has some stuff in here about people like Madeline Dean. Let's bring in Vincent Altieri here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Vince, are you a listener? Is that why you called us?
Yeah, Dom, I'm a listener. My wife, 30-year school teacher, is an avid listener of you folks on our way home from work and to work. And so, yes, I'm involved with your show. I've been on Rich's show. I ran for school board this past November, was defeated by a bunch of politicians. And when you had mentioned Madeline Dean, I'll be straight with you. I don't know who that Madeline Dean was a year ago. And I don't really care because I care about my child's education. I mentioned on the show earlier today, my child is going to have a productive outcome at North Penn School District because she's going to put the work in. However, when we talk about, you know, I believe in follow the money. And when you have contractors that North Penn School District has hired to do high school renovations, which is another big topic in the area, and they're donating to this political monopoly, that stinks. When you have teachers unions that are donating to a political monopoly, that stinks. I mean, at the last election, for crying out loud, a 17-year school teacher by the name of Mike Kennedy ran for school board, went for the teachers' union endorsement, and because he had the wrong letter in front of his name, didn't even endorse him. So this whole system with public education is upside down. And, you know, I want to talk about solutions. There's local people that the community trusts. A law enforcement officer by the name of Pat Hanrahan, put him in charge. Let him have input about security in North Penn School District and get outside of their comfort zone and hiring people that they're getting donations from.
Yeah, that's well put. I love the line. Why did you put, it's time to take another step on the moon, though? That's what jumps out, Vince.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, to step on the moon, we got to get outside of their comfort zone. They've been in control. The North Penn School District political monopolies are controlled for almost 10 years. They've had 4 dissenting votes in that time. You know, I jokingly say, I can't get along. I have more than 4 dissenting votes with my wife before, you know, we get up in the morning. They agree on everything. So take a step on the moon, step outside of your comfort zone. Instead of this, you know, word salad of bureaucracy that this Jonathan Casa puts out there, which, you know, it does come back to the tragedy of the young lady that you spoke to, and it shouldn't have to. And that's what I said in my article. We shouldn't have tragedies to bring to light what the heck is going on. But no,
and Vince, I love what you said about the police officer or the all law enforcement there, because that Zoom meet, first of all, how in the world would something that's making national news do you do a Zoom meeting? And then two, all you do is go through bullet points of page 23 and page 24 versus that kid should not have been near other kids, even if they were in the cafeteria.
Just solicitor kicks off the meeting about how they have to be careful about what they comment about. And then they go ahead and they talk about timelines. I mean, come on, give me a break. I mean, I've been to probably 30 to 40 school board meetings before I gave up trying to talk to these people because they don't listen. You know, they listen with their mouths. They ridicule people. I listen to the meeting still. I'm not going to talk because I'm not going to be embarrassed, continue to be disrespected by them. There's no trust in North Penn School District. And they have an opportunity. We've extended plenty of olive branches. Put some people in charge that have ideas, solutions.
Yeah, I hear you. But let me play you for a second, Vince. Vince Altieri with us. Dr. Todd Bauer on the meeting with Madeline Dean. And we'd love to get your reaction. Here's what he said.
And I really want to mention Congresswoman Dean. She was in a remote location on national security business. I wasn't allowed to know where she was or which time zone, but she did reach out and we met at a time and she gave me all the time that I needed. So it really was helpful to hear from them and to hear that they plan to continue to lobby and advocate for changes in public education and ways in which our legislators can support districts like North Penn and, of course, not just North Penn. And lastly, I did mention that we are planning to have a community forum on May 14th. Those who have attended forums in the past can kind of assume what the format would be.
All right, Vince, tough question here because we heard this originally, and you can probably tell me better than anybody. In your estimation, is there something more here than just this violence? In other words, this kid transferred from one school to another. Kind of strange how this goes on when there's a clear pattern here. Is there anything else that parents are seeing happen here?
Well, you know, there's talk in the community, and you know, the mayor of Lansdale, another example to your point, that gets involved with school board, shows up to meetings and speaks about hirings at North Penn School District, yet when community members want to talk to him, he then says, I don't want to be involved with school board. So there's, you know, I put in my article something about the flags. And, you know, it's we spend way too much time talking about what other flags need to be displayed at during public, you know, at a school, when let's just put the U.S. flag up there. And I touched on that in my article. And that's not to be disrespectful towards any community, any other community member. And it's, these are all distractions. These are all, as far as I'm concerned, this is what divides communities.
Vince, can I ask what you do for, maybe I don't want to know what you do for a living. I'm just, as a communicator, I can't get damn past this thing. It's time to take another step on the moon. I'm thinking when I saw this morning, where did this guy come from? How beautiful this is. It just grabs you right out of the box. And of course, mentioning Madeline Dean, I only had her on once about potholes. It didn't end pretty well. So, Vince.
Decency.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, though, about solutions. That ought to be the tenor of the May 14th. And if they're not open to that, then I don't know, to your point, when they would be after this situation.
Agreed. I appreciate you having me on and giving this the attention that it deserves. Because at the end of the day, as I said, I'll say it again. It's not about my child. It's not about the children that are going to have positive outcomes. It's wrong. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. And what's going on is wrong, and we need to fix it.
Absolutely. Vince, thanks for listening. Your wife, too. Thank you very much. Anytime, you're welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, Vince Altieri here. Dan, I can't tell with all the stuff we heard in the beginning with the transgendered stuff. It's maddening to think that this kid could have been taken into lunch when obviously there were issues rather than just bringing him lunch. Don't get it. Not a good situation. And then when Madeline Dean, and you know what it reminded me of her? Oh, we can't tell you where. What's she on national security? Where was she recently? I'm trying to remember where she went. I think she went to Afghanistan or something like that. It's like saying Dr. Jill Biden. Get over yourself, Madeline Dean. Come on. 855-839-1210. I can't tell you. I'm in a bunker here in Gaza. Doubtful. And I wonder if she'll be there at the May 14th meeting. Might have to attend that one. Seems like there's a lot of interest in this. All right. We've had a lot of people want to get in a few calls. Eamon Brown will be with us at 1 o'clock from Harrisburg. He won yesterday, at least. Everybody seems to say that, but you never know in Philadelphia. Why would they spend $700,000, the Working Families Party, he tells me, to try to defeat him? A state reps race? Where's that money coming from? We'll get to all of it. Jim, good afternoon. Go right ahead.
Yes. You're a first-time caller.
Thank you, Jim.
I was just, how are you? So I am a Penn graduate. I do have an Ivy League. As far as me, I am really disappointed what's going on there. It makes no sense to me. I would love somebody just bring in the big screen TV on the Penn campus right across from where these guys are encamping,
mm-hmm.
and showing them what happened on October 7th. I don't understand why. And then, organize something, some sort of a gathering outside the state. There should be something here that just counteracts this nonsense.
Jim, terrible thing that's going on. Sandberg, one of the chief people over at Facebook, has a documentary out that is streamed, but it's also going to be in theaters. But I don't think the Penn administrators would have the guts to show it there. They would not show, as I remember it. Now, maybe they ultimately did, but initially, the film that the Jewish groups in town put together that I was invited to at a theater out there at Penn, because the evidence is just overwhelming. And the bottom line is they were using barbarous tactics, rape, mutilation, baking babies as an act of war. And if I hear one more of those creeps talk about soiling people and people showing them flying in over the hang gliders, Jim, it is obvious it happened. They watch TikTok, and they're in their own little bubble, though. You won't penetrate it. All you can do is stop them from what they're doing.
So you're saying that we can't protest against the protesters?
Oh, no, you can. But what I mean is, absolutely, Jim, you're not going to win them over or shame them or get them to admit to anything. They are completely in that bubble and ignorant of any of it. You will not convince any numbers, but I agree with your idea, without a doubt.
No, what really ticks me off is it's embedded in my, I'm in my 60s, but it's embedded in my brain on 9/11 when I was driving to work, what happened, and then they pulled this thing off of all the media. I don't know if it was government or everything, but
The French,
those protests,
yeah,
that were cheering the fact that they took down. I don't even see that anymore. I don't see any of this stuff.
You're right. Thank you, Jim. I got it wrong, but thank you. And I just want to say, a guy like Jim is not a bloviator like me, Dan. You can honestly hear it. He doesn't understand it. The only way I can explain it is, I'm long past trying to understand the motivation. I see evil, and that's what this is. And I figure out, how do you confront it? How do you beat it? How do you stop it? Figuring out the motivation of this ignorance is almost impossible. And it's fun for them. You got to understand it. And I have some stats on TikToks for 4 to 7-year-olds today, Dan, and then up. The amount of time, what they're watching, that are unbelievable. All right. Our buddy Eamon Brown, state representative, won yesterday, I believe, by about 40, 45 votes in Philadelphia. They spent $700,000, just one group. And they're socialists. Where are they getting 700 grand from? He's got a lot to tell. He was pretty fired up on Sunday when I talked with him, when victory was in sight. He is next from Harrisburg.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.